Begin Again, Mama. I'm your host, Tia, and today I have a special guest with me, Margot, our third baby, and it just felt completely appropriate to have her here with me while I record this solo episode and sharing her birth story, at least my version of her birth story. I can't believe it. We are past that 6-week mark. These last 6 weeks have gone by so fast, yet also I feel just very present in this postpartum period and feel well nourished. And honestly, it's felt more easeful than I expected. And I'm so grateful for this experience. I'm so grateful for the birth that we had. And it's not lost on me that her 7-week point is the day that we birthed her sister Faye last year. So it'll be 1 year since her sister's birth that she will also be 7 weeks old now. And these girls are so much more connected than I could have ever imagined. I hope that one day I can hear Margot's version of Faye and her spiritual journey within the womb and birth, because as I tell it, as things unfold, you'll hear just how connected I believe they truly are. And yeah, so here we go. I would say that my birth was probably unfolding for weeks before it actually happened. I think starting with the midwife appointment I had the day before Margot was actually born is good, because we were over that 41-week mark, and as a licensed midwife, they are required to start talking about, okay, if we get to 42 weeks, this is what we have to do. And throughout this pregnancy, we had declined all tests and ultrasounds. And so our midwife was aware of, you know, my thoughts and preferences around those things. And as a licensure in Minnesota, you are required to get a non-stress test and ultrasound every other day starting on 42 weeks if you still want to birth at home with your midwife, which is absolutely bonkers to me, which is a whole nother conversation though. But I didn't feel like we were going to get there. I also knew we were going to decline that if we did get there. So my midwife came over to our home the day before, and we were at 41 weeks and 2 days. And she was like, you know, I agree. We have plenty of time to still welcome this baby. This baby can still come before that point. We have time. I'm just going to leave this information with you so you're aware of it and have it in our records. And she also kind of gave me a little wink and a nod of, you know, if you were to welcome this baby after that, and he wanted to give me a call and invite me to meet your baby, I would be completely willing to do that. And she's ended it with, I trust you, Tia. I trust your body. I trust your baby. I trust your ability to birth and your knowledge you have around it. I trust you. And that felt so good. I also trusted my body. But having a woman also remind you of that trust, it's so valuable, so valuable. And that night I was telling Austin about it, and I told him, like, what do you think we would do, I guess, if we got to that point? Again, not thinking we were actually going to get to that point, but starting to plant those seeds, have that conversation if it were to get there. And he's like, well, man, I guess we would have our baby at home. Just us. And I kind of laughed and I was like, that's kind of how I feel too. because we had had conversations of just having our baby at home, and it wasn't something that we were completely uncomfortable with. We were just really desiring that presence and the energy that the midwife I chose would bring to our birth, and it just felt good. So I woke up on 41 plus 3 and around 3 a.m., like I had the last few weeks, and we co-sleep as a family. So my toddler was right next to me, and when I woke up at 3, I saw his little hand just dangling over my pillow. And when I saw that, I had the thought of, this feels like it'll be our last time. It's just the three of us in our bed. Honestly, I had no reason to actually believe this for sure would be the case, because everything I was feeling physically at this point felt the same that it had up, the last 3, 4 weeks. I started to notice some light sensations with my contracting uterus, and this again had been very normal. I had been feeling that nightly for multiple weeks. And I thought to myself, well, maybe I should ask Austin, my husband, to stay home. And then immediately this thought of, but what if I'm wrong, follows my thought of asking him to stay home. I decided to stay in bed and just be open to the idea of labor starting and also totally willing to continuing to be pregnant if it didn't start. Austin's alarm goes off at 4, so I decided just to see how the next hour played out by staying in bed and then getting up and talking to him. So around 4 a.m. that happens, Austin got up, I followed him out of the room, and I tell him that maybe he should stay home. And then immediately I was like, or maybe I'll just have my mom come over and hang out for the day. Sorry, I'm also nursing Margot at this point right now. Where was I? I thought it was gonna happen today, but I just didn't know at what point in the day it was gonna happen. Like, should I have him stay home all day? Could I just be in early labor for hours? I had no idea. And I didn't want to waste one of his days off without being sure, because he wasn't gonna get very many days off, and we already knew that going into the labor and birth and postpartum. So I decided that I would just let him know in the next hour if he should stay home or not, and told him to just go about his morning routine as if he was going to work. At that same time, I also asked my body to send me a sure sign of either labor or the pregnancy continuing for a while. Either way, I was open. So around 5 a.m., I went to the bathroom again and I saw some bloody mucus plug, and this was new. The mucus plug I had been seeing for the weeks before was not bloody. So I decided to see this as my body's sign to ask Austin to stay home and have my mom also join us instead of having one or the other, deciding both of them should stay. Because our plan was to have my mom be present for our toddler, Otto. Well, I was laboring, so Austin could be present with me, and my mom just brings a sense of calm and happiness to Otto, and so I wanted him to have that during the birth and during the labor. As I saw the bloody mucus plug and realized that this was new, before going up to Austin, I still heard that voice inside of my head saying, "But what if you're wrong?" And I waited to ask him. I waited to ask him to stay home. I made my final decision about 5 minutes before he was typically supposed to leave for work, and I asked him to stay home. Really just waited till the last minute there. And I was so inside my head throughout this whole time, I barely said two words to Austin. He was like, "Yeah, it's totally fine. I'll stay home." Texted his boss. As I texted my mom, and I was like, hey, just go about your morning, do your yoga, your showering, your normal routine, and then I think you should come over. Today seems like it'll be the day. I also decided to call our midwife around 6 a.m., letting her know that things feel different this morning. She asked me how, and I told her about the light sensations I was feeling in my contracting uterus, and that that hadn't been any different than the previous weeks, nights, and mornings, but the bloody mucus plug was. And then right around this time, too, I started to feel my body clearing out. I was pooping a lot, which was also another sure sign of early labor, and that made me super excited. My midwife was like, wonderful, just let me know when you're ready for me to join you at your home. I'll be waiting. I hung up the phone. I felt very confident about that and was really just excited because in my first birth, I really didn't feel early labor. And my second birth was FaZe, who we already knew had passed in the womb, whose heart stopped beating. And yeah, obviously this is just totally different. That was not exciting part of labor, and I had to be induced to birth her, and we were at the hospital. So this time I was at home. I could see the signs of early labor. I was totally present and just really connected to our baby, feeling them move around and feeling the slowness of the morning. Like, we were just going about our day. Otto was awake at this point. He was playing with toys in the living room as Austin was making us breakfast. And then the three of us sat down for breakfast around 6:30 and enjoyed our last breakfast, just the three of us. I noticed myself feeling nauseated by the eggs, and we eat eggs every morning, most mornings, I should say. So this was unusual for me, and I kind of just decided to ignore the nausea because I did not want to throw up. That was one of my things too, is like hoping I don't throw up in labor, because my previous two labors I did not throw up. So I ignored the nausea and went about our day. Didn't eat so much because I just couldn't, and didn't think a whole lot about that. I noticed light cramping continuing with my uterus contracting, and things felt really easeful. There was no urgency whatsoever. I was completely present for each sensation and just like allowed my body to do its thing, and it didn't hurt. Honestly, there was no pain. And so around 6:30, I think we were about, it was a little bit after that because we were eating at 6:30. So a little after 6:30, we were cleaning up. I let Austin clean up, and then I decided to sit on the yoga ball, and then I decided I should go to the bathroom again. And I was just in and out of the bathroom all morning. And then I started to notice that, like, wow, these cramps feel close together, but they're not painful. And so I couldn't really make of where I was at. I was recognizing my body's innate response to clear out the bowels, and I had that bloody mucus plug. There was no waters yet, and so I felt pretty confident I was in early labor. Yet the contractions, I can't even call them contractions because they just didn't feel like that. The sensations were getting really close together. And so at 7 a.m., I decided, okay, this is probably, you know, the last time I'm going to be able to take a picture of my baby in my womb. So I took my last bump picture with the baby inside around 7 a.m. And I'm glad I had that because that was good documentation. The sensations were getting closer and the intensity was starting to pick up. And I felt like I needed some space. I had just been in the living room and in and out of the bathroom. So I decided to go into our bedroom, which was still dark at the time. And it felt so nice to be alone. And I noticed myself starting to vocalize, and I like let out this big moan and opened my throat, like low roaring primal noise. And Austin came in to check on me. It's not painful. It's getting intense. I have no idea where I'm at in labor though. I'm still questioning myself. fearful of being wrong. And then it just dawned on me, it's okay if I'm wrong. Like, I decided I needed to let myself be wrong. And if I am wrong, that's okay. This was just a couple of minutes or so past 7 a.m. And that was my moment of surrender. I decided to text my mom the words, come sooner rather than later. I called my midwife back, and this was at 7:35, and I said, hey, I'm doing okay right now, but I think it's going to be a quick switch when I'm not okay. And she was like, I'll come now. I'll be there in about 40 minutes, and I will sit on your couch or in your kitchen until you're ready for me to be present with you. And she ends the phone call by saying, and call me for support if you need me sooner over the phone, which was perfect. She was just so perfect throughout everything. So I decided I needed to go to the bathroom one last time. And now in hindsight, I can recognize like how hard it was for me to get from where I was kneeling on our floor by our bed into the bathroom, which was less than 10 feet away. How hard that was. At the moment, though, like I just did not register. It probably took me quite a while to actually get there, to be honest. Austin went back and was in the kitchen with Otto cleaning up some paints, and then he's going to go and start the pool birthing tub so I could use that to labor in to help once the intensity picked up, or as I thought, once like the pain kicked in. So I got into the bathroom, and I was like, man, I still don't know where I am. This is all internal, by the way. I just don't know where I am at. I don't know where I'm at. I expected it to be painful by now with how close together these sensations are. They are back to back. And I sit down to go to the bathroom, and I quickly realize that the baby is crowning. I did not actually have to use the bathroom. This was my baby entering the vaginal canal, and immediately I could feel my body starting to bear down. And so as I'm bearing down, I'm calling out to Austin, baby is coming, get towels now. It was more like, Austin, baby's coming, towels. He comes in as the head is emerging. He's helping lifting me off the toilet, and I'm propping myself up as much as I can, and I roar this baby out within moments. Austin caught the baby and immediately passed her to me. My gosh, the slipperiest little being we have ever tried to hold, because Austin grabbed the towels but set the towels down and wasn't using them yet. And our baby was born on call. She was in the sack up until the shoulders coming out. And then that's when the bags of water bursted, leaving that amniotic sack on her face. And we just calmly peeled the sack off of her face. The cord was quite short, and so we were unwrapping it from her neck, her armpit, and then her leg. And I saw that it was a girl. Absolutely shocked. I was like, oh my gosh, Austin, Otto, it's girl. And it was the sweetest moment ever. Otto, our toddler, was watching the whole thing. He was blowing kisses to me in the doorway of the bathroom, and he was just saying, mama, mama, kisses. And then once I said it was a girl, he's like, sister, sister. And after Austin handed me the baby, he got the midwife on the phone to tell her that the baby was here. She was still 18 minutes away. I couldn't believe it. This is our baby girl. This is Margot. It was Margot Shelby inside of me. And I looked at her and I was like, of course it was you. Of course it was you. It was you the whole time. Although throughout the whole pregnancy, I was convinced it was a boy. And I think that was just a very protective coping mechanism for myself, needing that pregnancy to be different from Faye's in that way. Anyway, it was like the most mundane morning in our household. It was our typical slow morning routine, just everyday things. And yet we got to welcome our baby girl into it. It felt so perfect. So perfect. Our midwife showed up and helped guide me along with Austin into the bed and helped me birth the placenta. Her presence was so perfect post-birth. Her care was exactly what we needed, and immediately our family entered into the postpartum phase of life. Totally calm, no fuss, no car ride, just utterly present with the new version of our family. And Margot Shelby was born at 7:53 a.m. And I couldn't be more delighted. It was into her father's hands, witnessed by her big brother, and 100% ushered in spiritually by her big sister Faye, her auntie Shelby, and Grandpa Lyle. Our spiritual team was so strong that day. The calm, loving presence felt in that bathroom that morning was not ours. We were being held by God and our people, no doubt. It was absolutely wild, absolutely beautiful, and totally primal. I cannot believe that four of us got to do this together. And it felt so perfect, absolutely perfect. Throughout her whole pregnancy, I was learning about unassisted birth and listening to stories of births outside of the system. And I am so grateful that I chose the midwife I did. I found just a gem of a midwife who trusted my body, trusted my knowing, trusted birth, trusted my baby, and everything unfolded exactly as it was meant to. We went this whole pregnancy with zero tests, no ultrasounds, just trusting the primal and natural instincts of ourselves and of our baby and of birth and of pregnancy and all of that. It's what we needed after our birth of Faye. It's interesting because obviously, to me it's obvious anyway, Faye and Margot are two different beings, and yet they are divinely connected. And Margot's placenta was infused, meaning at one point in this pregnancy there needed to be two placentas, and then it merged into one when it only needed to be one. And I don't have answers for that beyond she was likely a twin, and then the twin did not survive. And to me, I don't know if it was a twin that was supposed to survive, right? Like, they didn't, so no, they weren't supposed to. But to me, that other being, I think, could have been Faye, and needing to complete something in her life cycle. And I will continue to ask little Margot about her spiritual journey in the womb, before the womb, after the womb, and hope that just throughout her life she can drop little nuggets on me of different things that have happened, because God is so good, and the healing that we have felt, the grief that we have felt, and the love that we have felt throughout this whole process is unbelievable. I'm so grateful for listening to my intuition and doing things outside of the quote-unquote norm and making sure that we got the birth that we all deserved. We got the birth that Margot needed and that I needed, and it got to be just our family present for that, our immediate family present for that, because it's what we needed. It's helped Otto transition into his role of earthside big brother, not just spiritually big brother. And he is so in love with his sister and so caring. He's always felt part of it, I think, since literally the day that she was born, the moment she was born. He absolutely loves waking up next to her because we all share a family bed, and it was easy to transition into sleeping all together and waking up all together, and things have just gone more easeful than I expected. And I do believe that a lot of that has to do with how we birthed and how easeful we let that be. I feel like I have so many lessons that have unfolded throughout this birth and throughout her pregnancy. And the top one has been trusting my body, trusting my baby's bodies, and trusting our paths that we are walking. Postpartum has been no different, needing to tap into that trust. I feel like part of me during the pregnancy was like, just get through this and then things will be easier. And I've been using the word easeful, but I don't want that to be confused with easy. Like, things aren't easy, but they have felt more easeful. I have felt more present. And I think that is just because of the way that we have prepared for this. The trust in our bodies continued through, because her amniotic sac didn't break until her shoulders, I actually ended up birthing the remainder of that sac 10 days after her birth. That was an absolutely shocking and wild experience. Thank God for our midwife, who came over on a Saturday afternoon and helped me birth the remainder of that amniotic sac. She was so calm, an amazing presence, and so grateful for her care, that trusting that my body knew what to do then after that, because I was so fearful. I had a lot of fear that there was something else retained and it would turn into infection, and I'd have to get a DNC and the trauma that would follow that. And really leaning into, like, my body knows what it's doing. My body already birthed what it needed to. It removed the excess that did not belong. I can trust my body to do that again if it needs to. It didn't, thankfully. And because Margot came so quickly, that force of just being roared out, I did not push whatsoever, but the fetal ejection was real. And because of that, she got a hematoma on her head. And I had never heard of a hematoma. I had never seen a hematoma on a baby, a newborn baby. And looking it up online, I saw that that's very common with infants who have had, like, vacuum extractions or forceps used in birth and have that birth injury. And then my midwife was saying that it's normal. It's within the realm of normal to have it with a fast or even a very slow birth. And so leaning into her body's trust that her body can heal completely and fully, that her body will distribute the excess blood, because the hematoma is blood vessels that have popped or burst underneath the skin. And my fear that kept coming up in that time, that it was not going, it was healing. It just was really large for a while, and it slowly was going down every day. But my fear in that time was that there was no skull under it. We didn't do any ultrasounds, and so I had no proof, or I had no pretend proof that she had everything she needed. I had intuition and knowing that she had everything she needed and that she was safe and that I was safe. But I had to lean into that and really trust our bodies to heal fully and completely and allow ourselves the time that they needed to do so. Those things are still unfolding, right? Like, the trust of our bodies. And it's such a conditioned thing. Like, we are so conditioned into not trusting our bodies, not trusting our intuition, just not trusting ourselves in general, especially as women. That stems so deep. I could talk about that for... That's a whole nother subject. I can't go down that rabbit hole. This is about Margot's birth, and I just have so much to say about her birth story, yet none of the words could feel completely enough to describe the magic it was. It really was magic. Our third baby is here, and she was totally ushered into this world energetically by God and her big sister Faye, her auntie Shelby, and just the spiritual presence of our people. I'm so grateful. So grateful. I would love to talk to you if you have an amazing birth story that you want to share as well. I would love to hear if you've had a precipitous birth as well too, because I wasn't expecting that, but it was amazing. And if you've had a pain-free birth, because throughout the whole pregnancy, I told my husband, birth doesn't have to be painful. Yet I didn't know it was actually going to happen to me. I didn't know I could be that lucky, because I'm not this totally evolved, you know, spiritual person that I want to be yet. And so I just didn't know it could be my story. And yet here I am telling people that I had a pain-free birth, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Thank you for joining Begin Again, Mama. I am grateful you chose to spend time with me. I know how busy you are and how precious your time really is. If you like this podcast, I invite you to subscribe or follow on your desired platform. And when you do, please rate and review Begin Again, Mama. This helps me expand our reach. Until next time, remember, each moment is an opportunity to start anew and begin again, Mama.